Should we pray? Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would help us to be open to your living word, the Lord Jesus, that you would speak through scripture into our hearts and help us to respond with courage. Help us to follow you in every area of our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're continuing in our sermon series and going through Mark and drawing some inspirations about how we might share our faith with our friends, our colleagues, our neighbours, and so on. And tonight we're looking particularly at Mark 4, verses 21 to 34 that you just heard read. So please keep those open in your Bible. And we're looking about the lifestyle of the Christian and how that can impact on our witness to those around us. And to start, to sort of give us a bit of a way in to our passage tonight, I want to share a confession with you that when I was younger, and Mum, if you're listening online, I apologise in advance and I'll come and seek your forgiveness later on. But when I was little, we used to go down to my grandparents in Barnstable. And Grandma, Mum's mum, made a gooseberry crumble once, and I hated gooseberries so much. They're all veiny and horrible, and they got the hairs on the outside, and it was just... Anyway, I had this huge portion, and I just didn't know what to do. And Mum was saying, no, you've got to finish it, you've got to eat it. Mum, you know, Grandma's slaved over this for so long. So anyway, I put a load in my mouth and then pretended I had to go to the loo and then spat out the gooseberries down the loo because I just didn't like the gooseberries that much. And this was typical of me because I didn't like so many foods. I was closed to the idea of trying new foods. I don't know if you're similar to me. My granddad was the same. It was roast beef and Yorkshire puddings and potatoes. That was the kind of food that he liked. You know, he wouldn't have Chinese food or Indian food. It was just good British food. That's what he would have. And I grew up like that quite a lot. I would never try new things. I hated tomatoes as well. I don't know whether you got foods that you don't like and whether that's put you off trying different things. But our passage is a little bit like that. And indeed, Mark's gospel so far has been a little bit like those who are closed to Jesus Christ. They're closed to the idea of following him. They're not interested. They know what they know, the religious teachers of the law, and that's all they want to stick with. They want to stick with that. But then also Mark shows us others who are open to trying maybe new foods, if you like that metaphor. Those who are open to hearing from Jesus, open to following him, and in so doing discover this whole new world of flavor. And so tonight we're going to have a look at this in a bit more detail. We're going to see that there are some that are open to God's calling. There are some that are open to God's will, and there are some that are open to God's help as well. And this is important because in their openness, as they respond to Jesus, Jesus so fills their lives that he overflows in their lives, helping them to bear witness, helping them to live the life that God's called them to. So there seems to be this link between an openness to what God wants to do and the overflow of his work in and through our lives because of Jesus. And so we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. So let's look at the first thing, being open to God's call. So the context of Mark's gospel, just the first four chapters so far, has been a collection of stories, if you like, between those who have been open to Jesus and those who have been closed to Jesus. So cast your minds back, or if you've got your Bibles there, you can go back a couple of chapters to chapter 1. You've got John the Baptist, whose whole life was about responding to God's call to declare that Jesus is going to be the Messiah. He's the one you need to look out for. That was John the Baptist's raison d'etre, if you like. Then Mark also tells us the story of Jesus calling the first disciples in Simon and Andrew and James and John in chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. We also saw Levi the tax collector, didn't we? That hated man by society, having an amazing call from Jesus, and he follows him in chapter 2. And of course, the calling of the apostles in chapter 3, the famous 12. And what's amazing is that all of these people have been called from such different walks of life. So at the beginning of Mark's gospel, Jesus starts off in the synagogue, teaching not only the religious leaders, but those faithful and going to synagogue each week. But then, as William showed us last week, Jesus moves out of the synagogues towards the lake in Galilee, up in Capernaum. And so Jesus is preaching and teaching the sacred and the secular alike. His mission is going quite widespread. And we see in these stories that there are those who are open to Jesus and respond to him positively, as well as those who respond to him negatively. So we've seen some of the positive ones in Simon and Andrew, James and John, Levi and the apostles. But then there are the teachers of the law, ironically, who aren't and should be responding to Jesus positively. So we see the Pharisees in chapter 2. Twice, Mark says, you know, that they're not open to what Jesus wants to do. And again in chapter 3, even more strongly, calling him sort of demon-possessed. So God's kingdom then is present and ready for those who are waiting and open to God. So there are those able to hear God and be open to what he wants to say and listen to his calling on their lives, just like Jeremy did and shared in his testimony earlier. Perhaps you've got a similar story. You heard that call of God to draw you towards Jesus at some point in your life, and maybe that's why you're here tonight. But then there are those too who are open to God's will, actually doing what he says. And the wonderful news about this is it's not just the 12 disciples. This is all those who have heard God's call. So if you look at chapter 3, verse 31, the famous story about who is Jesus' mothers and brothers. They're standing outside, and sorry, it's gone off the page a little bit. They sent some, and a crowd is sitting around Jesus, and they told him, your mother and brothers are looking for you. And Jesus says, well, who are my mothers and brothers, he asked. And then he looked at those seated in a circle around him. Those are people beyond the 12, so there have been many other people there as well. He says, here are my brother and my mother. Whoever does God's will is my brother, sister, and mother. And so we see that those who are ready to do God's will are included into God's very family. So this calling is the highest of callings for all those that have heard God's call. And they're the ones ready to commit to doing God's word. And again, we observe that just as they were those who were open to God's will, there were those that weren't prepared to do God's will. And there are different outcomes. For those that are prepared to do God's will, there's a different outcome to those who are not prepared to do God's will. So, we may not be comfortable with this language, but I think it's the language that Mark uses. If we can call those that are open to God's will, insiders, and those who are not open to God's will, outsiders, we can begin to see some of the consequences, perhaps in more stark contrast. And that's what Mark has been laying out in his gospel so far. So the insiders then, those open to God's call and will, they receive special bonuses, if you like, at being open to Jesus. So if you look at chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus explains everything to the insiders through parables. And he explains that to his disciples. And that might be the 12, but it's probably those beyond the 12 as well. The insiders also receive healing. So Jairus' daughter in chapter 5 is healed. And the woman who touches Jesus' cloak when he knows the power's gone out from him, she's been healed as well, because she was open to the idea that Jesus could be the one. She was open to the idea that he was the one with the power to heal her. And so insiders receive instruction, they receive healing, and they also receive the benefit of his life-giving presence, as we see in chapter 4 with the disciples in the boat, with that famous story of the storm, and Jesus commands the storm to stop, and the disciples being there with him inside in his close circle. But you look at the outsiders and those close to Jesus, the teachings and the parables, they're just like riddles. It doesn't make any sense. They don't get it, even though they're the teachers of the law often. And thus the wonders of Jesus and who he is and the mysteries of his kingdom simply escape them. As we saw last week in William's sermon, he said, he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those, and note the loose of language here, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. See, all the way through the gospel so far, Mark has been comparing those on the inside and those on the outside, and getting us as the reader to begin to respond and think, well, look, am I on the outside or am I on the inside? And how am I responding? How am I reacting to Jesus? And that's a really important question for us today. And so that gives some context as we come to the parable of the sower. And again, if you want to go deeper into this passage, then I just recommend you listen to William Sutty's sermon last week. It's online as he looks at the first half of the chapter we're looking at tonight with the parable of the sower. But you remember there's the different types of soil, there's the pathway, there's the rock, and so on. And God's word goes out onto different types of soil. And William was explained really clearly to us last week how it's our responsibility to make sure that we have the correct soil in our own hearts. So as God sows the word, that is Jesus, people's responses to Jesus will be very different. And so those who hear God's word and put it into practice are the ones that have been open to Jesus, to allow his word to fall onto rich, good, well-tilled soil, that it will take root and sustain people for their faith. So it's the personal responsibility of all those who hear the word to make sure that they're tilling the soil of their hearts, being open, in other words, to God, being willing to follow God, to follow Jesus. Conversely, failure to ensure that openness in our hearts or to receive God and to till the soil of our hearts leaves us on the outside and therefore in danger of not being able to hear God's calling or our ability to follow him. And then that leads us tonight to the parable of the lampstand. And it's a parable of those who have received the word. So they are displaying, if you like, the light of Jesus in their own lives. They've received the seed, the word of God, Jesus. They believed and trusted in him as Lord. And Jesus has entered their hearts and now lives in them. Conversely, those who haven't received Christ's light hide it under the table, under the bed, so that they don't shine with the light of Christ because they've rejected him. But those who have are to keeping their light shining, the light of Christ shining in their lives. So really, it's a parable about perseverance. It's saying, you know, you've got the light of Christ in you. Keep it on the lampstand so that the world can see the difference that Jesus is making in your lives. It's a challenge, isn't it, to keep going in the Christian faith. Maybe you've, like Jeremy, have in your walk with Jesus had times of questioning and what's going on. Perhaps you've been following Jesus for a long time and things can go stale. It's important, isn't it, that we try and keep that light burning in our lives, that we can keep on shining with the light of Christ. So it's a message about persevering. And note here what it says there, a little warning for us there. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear, and consider carefully what you hear. He continued, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And whoever has will be given more. And whoever does not have what they thought they had will be taken away. Now this isn't some system of reward. The more you kind of believe, then the more God will kind of give you. Rather, I think it reflects back to the rocky soil in the parable of the sower, that if you don't have root in Jesus, then simply when trouble comes along, you'll just wither away. Similarly, if you don't keep on cultivating your relationship with Jesus, your light will just begin to grow dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. You're unable to keep it on that stand until it's hidden. So it's really important then that we remain open in our minds and hearts to what God, who God is and who Jesus is and what he wants to do, so that Jesus' light remains in our lives and we keep it on that lampstand, bearing witness for others to see, which after all is the whole point of light. So Mark has shown us then throughout his gospel that there are those open to God's call, there are those that are open to God's will. Now we're going to look at those who are open to God's help. Because once we get to know Jesus, his resources are our resources, which is an amazing news for our Christian journey. We've seen that in Jairus' life, with his daughter being healed. He seeks out Jesus and says, Lord, help. And he does help. The woman with the cloak reaches out desperate for Jesus, and she's healed. And so continuing in God's will, we can see these insiders, if you like, seeing amazing moves of God, seeing Jesus at work in their lives, continuing to help them. And it all begins, doesn't it, with our openness to Jesus, tilling the soil of our hearts, allowing his word to go deeply into our lives so that he can take root, if you like, and begin to shine brightly in our lives. And it's there that we have this correlation between being open to God and then His overflow, His abundant life living and shining through us. His ministry flows through us as we remain open to Him. And that's what we look at when we come to the parable of the growing seed, which is the next parable of our three parables tonight. Look at 4:26. See, the amazing thing is that a Christ dwells in our hearts. God's kingdom growth is the natural overflow of His life in us. So look at this one together. So Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Though he does not know how, all by itself the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Do you notice there that the growth comes all by itself? We aren't responsible for the growth. God brings the growth. And I don't know about you, but that is tremendously, it's a big weight off our shoulders. Because God brings the growth as a natural byproduct of us just cultivating the right conditions for that growth. And that's the key thing, is that we cultivate the conditions for that growth, but we're not responsible for the growth itself. Growth both in our own spirituality, in our own discipleship, which then has a knock-on effect, the harvest, if you like. When others see the difference that Jesus makes in our lives, that has a knock-on effect. They say, yes, I want some of that. I've seen the light, we say. They've seen the light because they've seen Jesus in us. And so the kingdom grows this way. Seed gives birth to new seed and new plants, new seed, new plants, as the parable shows. So it's our responsibility to cultivate this relationship with Christ. And in doing so, God produces a harvest in us. So by being open, God comes to overflow in our lives. So as we close, let's think about how do we then cultivate this relationship with Christ. On the Alpha course, we were looking at how God guides us this week, and there are some four really great short principles that I think apply to us tonight as well, which will help us to begin to apply this passage to our lives tonight. How do we cultivate our relationship with Christ? Well, first of all, we look at commanding scripture. These all begin with CS, by the way, which is always helpful. We like a nice kind of rhyming thing. So commanding scripture. And again, listen to William's sermon last week about how God speaks to us through His word and guides us through His word. God is the farmer and He sows His word into our hearts. So as Christians then, as we think about our lifestyle and about how we're going to reach others, have you got passages of scripture, you know, memorized so that when you're ready to give an answer, you're answering with scripture. You're able to share and point people to scripture and how God works through scripture. And Jesus is found within those pages. Are we open to God speaking to us through scripture in new ways? The next one is about the compelling spirit. About how the Spirit compels Jesus to go into the wilderness. Are you open to the promptings of the Spirit in your daily lives? In your opening prayer of the day, are you there ready to say, Holy Spirit, guide me and lead me to the people you want me to meet today? You know, in Luke's Gospel, Jesus teaches His disciples to say, look, don't worry about what you're going to say. I will give you the words to say. Again, when we're there, prompted by the Spirit, we'll meet people. God will give you the words you need at that time. And quite often, there'll be words from His Word, Scriptures, which is why it's so important for us to be well-versed in Scripture. Much easier to bring Scripture into conversation when you can remember it. And the Spirit will guide us. And if you read through Acts, all the way through Acts chapter 13, the Spirit is commanding His disciples and the disciples to go here and there. They listen to those nudges of the Spirit. That's one way in which we can remain open to God in our daily lives. The next one is about the communion of saints. One of the reasons we come to church is to pray together and to share in worship, to hear God speak to us in worship. Perhaps a song resonates in your heart so much and that encourages you through the next week. Or as we come to share communion tonight, you know, we just remember afresh what Jesus has done for us and why we do what we do, because others need to see the light. So important that we keep in regular worship together. But the communion of the saints, I mean, by that I'm not meaning people that have died and gone. I mean people that are living and we are saints. You know, if you're following Christ, you are a saint. I don't know if you've ever thought of yourself in that way, but what a lovely, beautiful bunch of saints there are here tonight. And we encourage one another. You know, in Proverbs it says that the wise listen to advice. Have you got a good Christian friend who you can go to, who can give you advice? If you've got a particular friend you're praying for, or a particular situation, how you can share your faith, they can encourage you. And then, lastly, we've got common sense. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 7, to reflect on what Paul has been saying, and the Lord will give you insight. And Peter tells us, doesn't he, to witness to others with gentleness and respect. And I think that's really important, and that's why I had the first reading tonight in Ephesians, that we're not living lives that are hypocritical, but we're living lives that are worthy of Christ. Fueled by worship, fueled by his word, listening to the promptings of the Spirit. That when we come into natural conversation with people, they'll see something different in us by the way that Jesus has been at work in our lives. These are all ways. Commanding scripture, the compelling spirit, the communion of the saints, and common sense in which God bears witness in our lives, that way you can keep cultivating that relationship with Christ so that his light burns ever brighter in us. And by cultivating it, we keep it on that lampstand so that others can see the light of Christ and be drawn towards him. Remember, it's God that brings the growth. It's him that brings people towards himself. But he delights in using us. So there we are. These are the hallmarks of the Christian lifestyle. Cultivating our relationship with Christ. And out of that, God naturally brings growth. So, a challenge. Is this all new to you? Are you on the inside or the outside? And if you think you're on the outside, please come and pray with myself or Jeremy at the end of the service. I would love to show you how you can come to the inside. It's such a great way. It's the best way to live your life. To those on the inside, is it time again just to be open to what God wants to do through you? Perhaps you've come entrenched in certain things and God wants to do something new by his Spirit tonight. Well, if so, again, come and pray with Jeremy and I. We'll be here at the front after communion tonight at the end of the last song. You know, if you want to come forward and just pray with us, we would love to pray with you that God might equip you to bear witness for Jesus. You know, we can't give away that which we don't possess for ourselves. Unless Jesus is deep in our hearts, there's no way in which we can share him. Rather, we cultivate that relationship with Jesus through the commanding scripture, by listening to the Spirit, by helping one another, and through common sense. And in so doing, God's light lives in us, and we shine for others to see. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask just that, that you would shine Jesus' light in our hearts so brightly that others would see your love, your grace, your passion, that they too might be open to your calling, open to do your will, open to your help. And Lord, if there are people on our hearts and minds, maybe friends and family who don't know you, help us to just keep on being open to you and what you want to do, trusting in you. To keep that light burning brightly inside us, that they may see your light and be drawn towards you. And Lord, if there are any here who feel that they're on the outside tonight, may this be the day that they listen to your voice and respond to your call, and that you would draw them to yourself. We ask that they would come and pray and learn how for themselves. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our next song kind of picks up the main theme of what we've been talking about keeping Jesus at the center of all that we are, that he will be our source and our light, our hope and our song, and that with his fire in our hearts, we would go out to the world so that others can see the reason why we live. Let's stand and sing.